My name is Leaf.
What's your name?
I'm Pepe.
This is Pepe, and we're the Johnsons. Welcome to worship on Sunday, October 4th.
And her favorite stuff is gonna come up to see, come in the video.
Another time, though. Bye.
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 Say bye.
And Peppa Pig says bye too.
I think you're on. Go.
Thank you for that wonderful welcome, Johnson family. Welcome to worship, all of you, as we gather on a beautiful fall day here in Vermont. It is cleared up from this morning. The sun is bright. It is cool and crisp. The leaves are turning, and it is, and we're indoors because it is really cool and crisp. So we gather for an indoor worship here in our dining room. On a day, we're going to be exploring the concept of Sabbath. My name is Mitchell Hay, and I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Essex, Vermont.
And I'm Barb Lemmel, also clergy, and the Essex Center Church is the church that I attend, and it's a delight to be with you this morning.
Over the last few weeks, we've been following the Hebrew people after their freedom from slavery and crossing the Sea of Reeds into the wilderness. And we've seen how God provided for their needs in unexpected and often unwelcome ways, for food, for water, and this day for much needed rest. We're going to be studying Shabbat, Sabbath, and how it might be a tool for us to find some depth, some quiet, and some rest in very harried days. But I invite you first to come into a place of worship with our call to worship that is in the bulletin that was online. And Barb will be sharing the lines that are in bold type if you would like to follow along and share them out loud at your home. O Ancient One,
who makes all things new,
may we receive with gentleness,
and touch with hopefulness,
and protect with fierceness,
and love with tenderness,
and may we celebrate with gratefulness,
and welcome with humbleness,
and tend with gracefulness
all that you give into our care.
Amen.
Amen. And as we come this morning, as we open ourselves to each other's presence online, as we open ourselves to God, I invite you to take a breath in and let it out. And breathe it in again, knowing you breathe in God's Spirit. And breathe out, releasing all that holds you, all that you hold. And then breathe in God's Spirit again. And breathe out to be here. And hear these words from Cheryl Lowry this morning. Put down those things you carry. Sit with me a while. Stop making things so complicated. It is much simpler than that. Start from where you are, not from where you would like to be. Not where others say you should be. There may come a time when I will warm your heart toward new things, but right now I just want to warm your heart. All around you is beauty. See it. All around you are people I love, and I rejoice as you learn to love them too. Look for softness in your heart. There I am. Look for tenderness, and it will be my spirit calling you to community. It is not for you to cut a way through the undergrowth or make a road into the rocky places. Rather, let us just walk and see where this path will lead us. you and I. For my yoke rests easy if you will wear it, and my burdens lie soft on the shoulders if you will lift them. Mm. Amen. Amen. And we have a children's message this morning, so sit back and may the child in all of us enjoy.
So how do you feel like school is going so far?
Good.
Good. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Yeah? So school can be a little hard. What's one thing you have to do in the morning before you leave for school?
Get a mask and pack all your masks.
Brush your teeth. Eat breakfast. Pack your backpack. So what are some things you have to pack in your backpack?
Masks.
That's a new one for sure. Yeah?
Lunch boxes.
Water.
A coat.
I thought you said a goat. I was wondering why you thought fit a goat in your backpack. Emmett, anything else you can think of? Extra shoes, because you're going outside more. Sometimes your shoes get wet. So I have some things that God wants us to pack every day. And he wrote these things in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. And they can help us to remember a bunch of things we need to bring to school. So first we have red. Red is the first thing we're going to pack. And we're going to pack love. Love means treating others the way you want to be treated, which is kind of the number one rule.
It's the golden rule.
For Christians. It's the golden rule, right. So we need to love others.
That's right.
So that's the first thing we're going to pack. The second thing we're going to pack
is...
is...
I know what you're making. A rainbow.
Oh,
yeah.
You got it.
You're making a rainbow.
What's the second thing we pack?
Joy.
Joy means going around with a smile on your face. The famous writer George Eliot said, "Wear a smile and have friends, wear a frown and have wrinkles." At school, I'd rather you have friends than wrinkles. So I want you to pack joy so you can spread joy to others.
Yeah, you don't want wrinkles.
You don't want wrinkles.
All right.
You'll look like me.
All right.
Next, what color do you think it is, Alan?
Yellow.
I can see it. Hannah can see it, yeah. I'm not really trying to hide it. I just need to actually write. All right, what's next, Em?
Peace.
All right, so are there ever some arguments at school?
Yes,
there are some arguments. And we can try to make peace. So remember, there's a proverb that says, a soft answer turns away anger. So if someone says something mean to you, and you say something kind back, you can end a fight before it even starts. You can bring peace. If someone says, "Oh, that shirt is ridiculous," and you say, "Thank you, I love this shirt," there's really no fight, right? It's all done. All right. So you're going to pack what so far?
Love, joy, peace.
Yep. What do you think is next?
Green.
Green. And green. This is what I need to really pack in my backpack.
Patience.
You have to have a lot of patience in school.
Like, you mean like patience?
Not like patience that I treat. Patience like to wait for things. So you have a lot of patience. You have to have a lot in school. What are some things you have to wait for?
Washing your hands.
Yep.
Go out to recess. Go potty. Mask breaks.
Anything you have to wait for?
Mm-hmm.
Recess. So we have to pack a lot of patience. Every time you are waiting, instead of being like, "Oh, I'm waiting again," you can think, "I'm practicing God's patience."
I'm practicing God's patience.
Next.
Blue.
Next is two different fruits of the Spirit. That's what these are called.
That one's fresher. Kindness and goodness.
Those are next. So they're kind of alike, and both involve being nice to people, even when it's hard. Jesus managed to be good and kind, even when he was dying on the cross. When he was dying on the cross, he said, "Forgive them because they don't know what they do." So if we can be kind, the world would be a much more beautiful place. Kind of like a rainbow. All right, you ready? Next. Perfect. But we would like each other if we were all kind. Good. Oh. Running out of room here. I did not plan out this rainbow very well.
Yeah. I know.
Next is Emmett. Might be hard to read.
Faithfulness.
Next is faithfulness. This can mean that we have faith in our friends. It can mean we have faith in God.
Teachers.
It can mean we have faith in teachers. So if the teachers are struggling with your Zoom and it is just not working, instead of thinking something bad at your teacher, you can say, you know, I know my teacher's a really good teacher and it's just a bad day. And you can still
sometimes
have a good relationship with your teacher. All right, next.
You're
not gonna have another
color,
are you? Yep. Brown. Brown. Oh, wow. Oh. Rainbow. Let's color. Gonna use this, I think. Okay. Pink. All right. Emmett.
Generosity.
Mm-mm.
Gentleness.
Gentleness. So school is
a
quiet place all the time?
No.
School can be a loud place. School buses can be loud places.
But the library is quiet.
The library is quiet, that's true. So as Christians, we don't want to add the wrong kind of noise. Being mean, yelling and screaming, being crazy, those are all not great noise. We don't want to interrupt or speak loudly or try to outdo someone. Gentleness means we don't push and shove. All right?
Because then you're going to pack all these things.
We have one more thing we need to pack. This one's running out.
You're running out of that thing to pack.
Oh, no. I hope not. This is a good one. This is a big one. Self-control. Self-control. Self-control means keeping your hands to yourself, even if someone upsets you. Fighting the urge to hurt someone back, even if they hurt your feelings. Yeah. Being in control of your body in line. Being in control of your body when we're trying to teach a lesson. Self-control. So these are called fruits of the spirit. All right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to pack all of these things when we go to school.
Uh-huh.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we pack all of these things, you could try hanging. We can make one of these of our own. And you could try packing it. And if we pack all of these things, when we're at school, God's love will shine through us. Yes,
Emma. Packing all those humongous things and good things and packing plenty of it in a backpack, we might not have
I think you'll have enough room in your heart for it. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, can we say a prayer?
You don't have to pack.
That's a good thing. Maybe you can make one of those.
You don't have to pack on all the colors.
Dear God, thank you for all the fruits of the Spirit that you've given us. Help us to remember to practice them and pack them in our backpack when we go to school. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Danielle and the Sturgeon families, for that delightful and creative take on the fruits of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
I'll need to fill my backpack up. Even if I don't have classes, I still need to take that wherever I go. We're asking if you might, sometime in the next little bit of time, gather, as well as the fruits of the Spirit, elements for communion later on in the service on this World Communion Sunday, where we are remembering that we share communion with brothers and sisters all around this planet. Grab something that can be a symbol of bread and cup for you, and whatever that might look like. Please bring that for our time of communion later on in the service. But now I invite you to listen for three pieces of scripture, two from the Torah in the Hebrew scriptures and one from the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, about Sabbath. One on the origin, one on the explication, and one on interpretation. So first from Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done, and God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done.
And then from Exodus, from Moses' reading of the Ten Commandments, this fourth commandment. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done that day by either of you, or your son and or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your beast, or by the alien that lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day God rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and made it holy.
Our gospel lesson from Mark's gospel is how it is we're to relate to the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath a set of rules and regulations to beat people up with, or is it a tool of liberation and rest?
You can guess which one Jesus comes down on, but that's okay.
One Sabbath, as Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. I'm assuming they were also
eating them,
doing little barley bites. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So there are 10 commandments that get shared in the Hebrew scriptures, how they're numbered, different traditions do it differently. And the origin of some of them are different, including the Sabbath. One version of it is because God rested on the seventh day, we should rest on the seventh day. Another version is, you guys know what it was to work constantly in Egypt. So now that you're not slaves, take a Sabbath for you and for your slaves, for your workers, for your family, for the aliens living in your midst. You know what it was like to not rest. So rest. But the commandment that gets ignored the most in 2020 in our modern 24/7, 365 culture is indeed the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. We are pretty bad about it. Our culture thinks that Sabbath is outdated and legalistic and filled with dusty recollections of blue laws and stern grandmothers enforcing rules about important things like card games and movies and dancing and having fun. Apparently, in the early part of the 20th century, everyone was supposed to dress in very starchy outfits and sit around in the living room and not do anything. I'm not sure if it was as bad as my grandparents said it was, but what if Sabbath in 2020 is less about Bronze Age rules and regulations or late Victorian sternness and more about offering a proven framework for offering us a bit of sanity in the midst of the craziness, a bit of identity in a time of anonymity, some health, some dignity in a postmodern culture that seems bent on stripping all that humanity away from us. Barb and I have said it more than once over the last 8 months that we've been meeting during this pandemic. The time of COVID feels like exile. Not an exile of geography, like happened in 587 BC, where the people of Judah were dragged in chains from Jerusalem to Babylon. COVID is an exile in time, where one day drags into the next day and the day after that with any kind of framework that we are used to, that we know, to help give it meaning, to help give it import, to help give it shape. I saw a cartoon of a calendar that instead of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it said this day, that day, another day. It's just this vague gray way of doing time. And so we are all working so hard to make things work, whether we're at work or whether we're working from home or whether we're doing school or trying to get the kids ready for school or schooling them at home. We're doing so many things, but we don't feel like we're accomplishing it.
Well, or even if we're accomplishing it, we're exhausted in the process. You know, as part of my work, I spend a lot of time talking with church leaders, clergy and lay. And one of the folks I talked to this last week said, I feel like everyone, including myself in my church, has reached exhausted acquiescence, by which he said,
that's a great term.
We're all exhausted from what we've had to do to get to this point. And we all know it's going to be a long time before we get past where we are now. And we accept that point. And we're all wondering how we're going to have enough energy to get through it. So it's not like we're fighting, we're acquiescing, and we're exhausted. We've worked so hard to keep everything together. And what this person was saying to me was, and who's keeping me together? Right? Who's keeping us together as we lead? That's the question I've heard and the question I've asked leaders often in these last few weeks. And to go back to that exile of the Hebrews into Babylon, that physical exile, when they found themselves in a foreign city, the prophet Jeremiah said that the word of God to them was that what they should do is seek the welfare of that city where they had been dragged into exile. Almost as though God were saying, you're going to be here for a while, so make the best of it. And don't just make the best of it, but seek the welfare of all the people around you as well as for yourselves. And so that is what I've been talking with folks about these past weeks. Here we are. We're not going anywhere else anytime soon. So how do we do it as best we can? How do we let things take care of us? And as Mitch and I have talked about this in the last couple of days, it feels to us as though the practice of Sabbath is something that can help us be refreshed and be well, even in exhausted acquiescence.
So even in exile, even especially in exile, it's important to do that which can help define us, give us a framework, and Sabbath is that.
Yes.
The Jewish philosopher Ahad Ha'am famously observed that more than the Jews have kept the Sabbath, Sabbath has kept the Jews.
Yes.
For 3,000 years, that has been what has made them and defined them and shaped them and framed them as a people.
And that's what I hear people saying. What is it that's going to keep me from exploding or imploding or shriveling or something? And what I think is at the base of the Sabbath that keeps people is that Sabbath is rooted in trusting that God's got this. Not knowing how God's got this, right? But trusting that God's got this. God's got us, and we are kept and held in that.
We really long to be kept.
We do. And yet, for as much as we long for it, and we long for it as much as anyone, we aren't very good at keeping Sabbath.
We are not very good at it. And so we're always kind of going,
we should do that.
We should do that. Yeah.
We've done it off and on.
Yes.
Way more off than on.
Or we'll get a really good start for 1 week, and then something comes up.
And we always say, this was great. We should do this again. And then we forget. But so we feel a little hypocritical in telling you that you should take Sabbath. And this is a reminder to us as well to do this. But we have, over time, come up with some guidelines. Because Sabbath is not about not playing cards. It's not about not buying alcohol on Sunday, right? It's about living in a way that trusts God. And so we've got a couple guidelines about that.
So one of them is when we think about what do we do and not do on Sabbath. We try to not do any church work, obviously.
But Sabbath isn't just a day off.
But it's not a day off.
So you don't do your work.
Right. And you don't do just not work.
Right.
It is a time to consciously rest in God, to rest in creation, to let creation be good as it is. That's why a walk in the woods is wonderful. And you're not going, that tree could be cut down to make a really nice house. You just let the tree be the tree. According to the rabbis, labor is what modifies creation to be useful to us. And Sabbath is the day for you to just let creation be creation, to rest in it, to play in it, to make love in it. The rabbi said, making love on the Sabbath is a mitzvah. It's a good thing to do. So we consciously try to create activities that we do that celebrate creation, whether it's a hike or a bike ride. We're in discussion right now because we're planning on spending some Sabbaths building a pair of kayaks, which...
Well, we're going to spend the next month building kayaks.
And do we do that on Sabbath, or is that not something we do? Is that to help enjoy creation?
Right. And the reason we're in discussions is that my back pocket definition of work on the Sabbath is something that seeks to make the world better. So doing the laundry is making the world better in a little way. Yeah. And so, no, you don't do that on the Sabbath. You don't fold the clothes on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I can enjoy my garden, but I don't weed my garden on the Sabbath. And so the discussion we're having is making kayaks, making the world a better place. Or can you make kayaks to just enjoy the making of kayaks, right? So I'll go for a bike ride on the Sabbath, but I don't think of it as a bike ride to increase my VO2 max, right? This isn't a training ride. This is a ride for me to enjoy biking and enjoy the world around me. So if we can build kayaks and enjoy the process and do it mindfully, I could see that it could be a Sabbath activity. I'm not sure I'm optimistic.
We'll have to see.
But we could do it.
I think we'll gauge it by how many F-bombs get thrown through in the building process. And if it's more than like three, it's not Sabbath work anymore. So we'll go with that.
So that's the first rule. What is work? Is this something that's trying to improve on God's world? Or is this just enjoying God's world and letting God take care of it for a day, right? So that's the definition of work. And then the other piece with Sabbath is, how do we define the time that we take?
What is a day? Right?
So in Jewish tradition, Sabbath went from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, right? If you have space in your life to take a 24-hour Sabbath, I can't tell you how wonderful it is. I've not done it often, but it's wonderful. And part of what's wonderful about it is going to bed in Sabbath and waking up the next morning in Sabbath. So before dinner, whenever you want to start your Sabbath, lighting a candle and saying to God, I'm starting Sabbath now. And then 24 hours later, again, lighting a candle and thanking God for that time, right?
That's part of the Hebrew concept of holiness, was set apart. And so lighting that candle says, this is now set apart time. This is a different time, which the hard part for me is that requires planning. That means you have to get stuff done in preparation for it. It's greeting the bride of the Sabbath in some of the rabbinic language.
Right.
You get done up to meet the bride of the Sabbath.
Absolutely. Yeah. But not all of us can take 24 hours, mm-hmm. right? Your life may not allow you to take 24 hours. So you can take less, right? So take however much time you can. Take a morning, take an afternoon, take an hour. Or before you go to bed, say, I'm going to sleep in Sabbath. And then in the morning, before you jump into all your other activities, wake up, thank God for the Sabbath time. And maybe have just a little bit of quiet time before you launch into your day. Even that can count as Sabbath. And there's something about setting that aside and just letting God take care of the world in that time that makes that Sabbath for us. And if your life won't even let you do that, because heaven knows there are times when our lives don't even let us do that, especially if we have children, especially if we're trying to work from home, especially if any number of things, right? Then I believe that we can take moments of Sabbath just in doing what we do in a way that is mindful, in a way that pays attention to the activity and offers it up to God or does it in partnership with God, right? I was at a workshop, oh my goodness, 13, 14 years ago now with Thich Nhat Hanh, a Zen Buddhist teacher. And I remember him saying to us, he teaches mindfulness, saying to us, do you wash the dishes to get them done? Or do you wash the dishes to wash the dishes? And I was like, I wash the dishes to get them done. Are you kidding? Right? Like I have other things to do. And that was his point, right? So washing the dishes in a way where you look at each dish and you remember what's been eaten in it and you give thanks for the folks who have eaten it, even if that's yourself. Instead of doing the dishes mindlessly while I'm planning ahead the next seven things I'm going to get done. Mm. The first of those can be Sabbath. And if I remember, inviting God to be with me while I wash the dishes can make them Sabbath. So even little things, right? It doesn't quite follow the rules because yes, washing the dishes is something that makes the world a better place, but sometimes you got to take Sabbath where you can get it, right? So, yeah.
At the early in-person worship service today, people thought that washing dishes was maybe PhD level mindfulness, that it's hard to do that without doing it to get it done. But people said, maybe we could just be in our garden and do that mindfully without, pulling weeds to pull the weeds, not in order to have a weed tree garden. So that seemed easier for folk to start out with a freshman level 101 class.
You got to start somewhere. The thing is the whole point of Sabbath is to bring an awareness of God and our ability to trust God into our day.
I was reading a lot of articles on Sabbath this week, and it was interesting how either they all read the same textbook, I'm not sure where, but there was a commonality of seeing Sabbath as operating on what my take on it is three axes, upward and inward and outward, to reorient us to creation, to ourselves and to the neighbors. So the first axis that Sabbath helps reorient us into a new reality is that upward axis of connecting us to God. And Sabbath, because it's a call to stop, don't be in charge, stop changing things, making things, creating things, and just let go for 24 hours, that's an issue of trust. Mm. And it reorients our connection to God, from God being, for a lot of us, portable superego, judge, creator of rules and laws, to the lover whom we can trust. Mm-hmm. With taking care of us and holding the world while we're not in charge of it. It's letting go of control and letting creation be creation and letting God be God. And that requires a level of trust. And so that reorients our connection with God.
So that's the upward part.
That's the upward.
And then the inward part is pretty obvious, I mm-hmm. think. Sabbath reconnects us with ourself, that we are not the sum total of all the things we can produce. Mm-hmm. We just are. Right. And as far as God's concerned, God adores us just as we are. And Sabbath is a time to let ourselves be ourselves as well as letting the world be the world. Sabbath is not a self-improvement time. Mm-hmm. So we reorient into our intrinsic worthiness, our belovedness by God in that, with that inward part. Mm.
Just simply being children of God.
Absolutely.
And part of that is our recognizing that we are not valuable because we can accomplish things for others. I forgot who the philosopher was who said, we are human beings, not human doings.
Right.
And Sabbath is a time to recognize that. So that's reorienting ourselves inward. But I'll hold a mirror up to that. There's also a reorienting outwards. When we recognize that we are beloved children of God, we recognize then that, all those other people mm-hmm. out there are also beloved children of God. All of creation is beloved of God. Remember, God said, it is good, very good. And seeing everyone else and all of creation as beloved also makes us recognize that we have a responsibility to help, once Sabbath is over, to help create with God a world that is fair and loving and just to all of them. In the rules of Sabbath, it was very clear, not only for you, the hearers of this rule on Sabbath, but also your sons and your daughters shall take the day off. Your family shall take the day off. Your servants shall take the day off. The alien residing in your land shall take the day off. All of creation takes the day off. All shall enter into Sabbath rest. And then you go, wait a minute. If to live in Burlington requires 2.5 full-time minimum wage jobs, how is anyone going to get Sabbath rest? Where is the dignity in that? When people are being treated as less than children of God because of their skin color or where they come from or their beliefs or what they look like, how do we create a world where all are seen as beloved? And so Sabbath leads us to a call for social justice for the other 6 days of the week so that there is a dignity and a justice that allows all to be able to rest for a day, to just be in God.
And it's interesting. You know, one of the things I notice in this COVID time, especially now that we're 6-7 months into it, is I have a sense that not always, but sometimes folks make an extra effort to connect. Hmm. I've done some hiking in the White Mountains with a friend of mine this fall, and when we pass other hikers, especially either when they overtake us, which isn't hard because we're not fast, or we pass them because they're going the other direction, mm-hmm. people stop, acknowledge each other, put their masks on, separate out across the sides of the path, and then we'll say to each other, you know, hello, it's good to see you. Have a good hike. There's a sense of reaching out that even with masks, it's almost as though because we're wearing masks, we're trying harder to connect. Mm. And a friend of mine who's a spiritual director in Massachusetts told me a story of when she was in Market Basket a couple of days ago, with her mask, everyone's got their masks on. And a gentleman apologized to her and said, am I in your way? As she was in one of the aisles. And she said, no, through her mask. She said, no, I'm just looking for something. And she smiled at him, crinkled her eyes up. And he looked at her, really looked at her and said, we're all looking for something. And for a moment, they had a real connection, a spiritual connection almost. They chatted a little bit and then both of them went on their way. Mm-hmm. That kind of connection, that recognition of our connection with folks outside us is something that Sabbath can open us to.
So I love that. We are all looking for something. We are looking for connection. Right. We are looking for breath. We are looking for rest. And yeah, it's been wonderful on the hiking trails, seeing people really trying to make those connections. It saddens me that I've also seen the opposite during COVID. And I'm not sure why, but this has happened at the Price Chopper parking lot a number of times, where people are going in to the Price Chopper with blinders on, with,
well, not literally,
not literally, but are assiduously avoiding eye contact, any kind of acknowledgement that there are other people. I think they're operating out of a sense of fear. I'm in a place that may be a little dangerous. But there's this, it seems to be that the thinking of, if I don't make eye contact with you, then I'm safe.
Right, then I can't catch corona.
I can't catch corona. It's like, if I don't see the tiger, then it won't attack me. So that's
the other thing. So we almost see two different poles.
Right.
And what I think is, I mean, we're going to be in this for at least another 6 months.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
The way that we live in those 6 months mm-hmm. is going to determine what we're like at the end of those 6 months. So if we spend those 6 months cutting ourselves off from people, not ever making eye contact, mm-hmm. pulling back, even when we could make little bits of socially appropriate eye contact, then we're going to be more cut off at the end of 6 months, another 6 months. But if we spend this time being open to what are the ways that we really can connect with each other and can value each other, even at a distance, even with masks on, over time, we will be more connected, more open, more genuinely together. Mm-hmm. And that's my prayer for myself, for you, for all of us. And Sabbath is part of what can put us in that place.
Sabbath can be the framework for that, constantly reorienting us toward God, toward a healthier sense of self and a more just sense of the other. Sabbath will keep us.
Yes.
If we keep the Sabbath, Sabbath will frame us and reorient us and recharge us, renew us. So I invite you to rest in God.
And find some ways to do Sabbath once a week anyway, however it works for you, because you will find God in this. And God already knows you. God's already there. It's not that God will find you in the Sabbath, but there will be a connection. So may that be. Blessings.
Blessings. Again, we invite you to gather some elements of cup and loaf. And we invite you to listen to some lovely music from Catherine Parker.
And if you have prayer requests, please put them in the comments.
Thank you.
We invite you to a time of prayer. This prayer comes to us from Steve Garness Holmes, modified a bit for our time together, about how it is that we approach and live into Sabbath. During this time of prayer, I invite you to lift up prayers for folk who are in your life that you would have us lift up. Not a day of piety and churchy things, a day of emptiness. You, Lord, are doing the work. I am not. Do I think I am more indispensable than you? Help me let it go. I have been freed from slavery, so I don't need to act like a slave. Help me honor my liberation and take a day off. Help me remember that Sabbath is an act of rebellion against the Pharaoh of forced labor that is in my head. I empty myself and wait, letting you and nothing else fill my time. Letting time be a gift, not an oppression. Being unimportant, unproductive, irrelevant. Time to sit and receive and to wait. Time to behold the holiness of the silence at the heart of all things.
And in that quiet, I would lift prayers for two colleagues. My colleague Barbara Purinton, who's just learned she'll be having hip replacement surgery on October 12th. And my colleague Cheryl, whose mom is facing a couple of risky surgical procedures and is in an assisted care facility. So for Cheryl and her mom as they face those difficulties.
With Paula, we lift up prayers for Ken Sanders and his two sons. Ken's a single dad and he's been sick and maybe facing surgery. So we're praying for healing and peace of mind. With Northa, we pray for her doctor of over 20 years who is going through serious health issues. Jan prays for pain management regarding Rich's cervical spine, for which surgery is not an option. With Joanne, we lift up prayers for Tracy Wright and her family as Tracy begins the journey of battling breast cancer for the third time. And Karen gives thanks for this reminder of Sabbath. With the whole world, we also lift up prayers of healing and wholeness for the president, the first lady, for all the cabinet, congressfolk, and all who in Washington who have contracted COVID-19. We pray for all around our nation and all around the world, especially those who do not have access to the exquisite healthcare that those in Washington are receiving. We pray for COVID to have an end time, that this exile time may end, but that we might discover each other and Sabbath in the midst of it. And so it is that we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I wonder how many Sabbaths Jesus shared with his disciples, how many times they gathered for an evening meal and they heard again and again and again the prayers for an ordinary breaking of bread and sharing of cup. How Jesus lifted up the bread on a last evening together, blessing the bread and breaking it, and for the first time saying, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you.
And just as many times you took the cup and gave thanks to God for the fruit of the vine, and gave the cup to them and said, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, eat this bread and drink this cup in memory of me. And so we offer prayers to the Holy Spirit, that you, Spirit, would come and visit this bread and cup, these elements that are in each one of our homes, and that somehow you would make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, even as you somehow make us the dispersed and faithful body of Christ to the whole world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Share those ancient words.
And we invite you to do this at home with folks in your home, if you can, or by yourself, if not.
My beloved, the body of Christ, broken for you.
Amen.
And the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. And my beloved and God's beloved, the body of Christ, the bread of life, and the blood of Christ, the cup of life.
Thank you, loving God, for refreshing us at this table, for the life-giving gifts of bread and cup, and for the life-giving framework of Sabbath to help renew our connections with you, with ourselves, with one another, and with all creation. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, we have some announcements to let you know about. Big thing today is that at noon, we'll be gathering at the parking lot of the Essex Center United Methodist Church for a picnic and a blessings of the animals in the tradition of St. Francis of Assisi. So if you have a critter of any number of legs, fins,
or no legs,
wings, or no legs at all, if you have a snake or something wonderful, please bring your critter for an individual blessing. And we'll have a picnic during and after as well.
We'll be wearing masks and social distancing. Your pet doesn't have to wear a mask unless you can figure out how to get them to keep it on.
Yeah, especially fish. They hate that. Tomorrow, we'll be having our Zoom Bible study on Sabbath rest at 7 p.m. The links for both the lesson and the Zoom are listed in the bulletin and at our Facebook page. We have birthdays tomorrow for Carson and Graham, who welcomed us in last week to worship. Happy birthday.
and anniversaries this week for David and Tracy Jones. David happened to be the one to first welcome Carson Graham into the world when they were born. And October 9th for Joe and Sherry Marcoux, and on the 10th for Bob and Mary McLean. So we wish happy anniversary to all of them. And we wish a happy Sabbath rest to all of you. Go in rest and in peace in the name of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.